come now to the memorial table, and in connection, we'd like to sing hymn 110. And we would note that the Henderson Christadelphian Ecclesia meets exclusively on the Christadelphian Unamended Statement of Faith, and we welcome those to the table who continue to endorse that statement. Hymn 110, the true Messiah now appears. The types are all withdrawn. Hymn 110. Dear brothers and sisters, it is truly a great privilege and a blessing to come together in these peaceful and comfortable surroundings to spend a week in study of the Holy Word of God. And may we be mindful God has revealed His will to us by the hand of His appointed writers, His inspired writers. And may we utilize this week of study to increase our knowledge and faith in His word of truth. Let us remember too that although this is the first full day of our Bible school, we have reached the focal point of our week. For without a doubt, this is the most important thing that we will do during this coming week. That is the assembling of ourselves together to remember the sacrifice, the sufferings, in the death of our absent Lord, and also His subsequent resurrection. Not only is our coming together around the table a privilege, it is also a direct command from Christ For he said, this do in remembrance of me. And the Apostle Paul also reminds us in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but rather we are to exhort one another. Then he adds, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Why do we suppose that Christ commanded us to partake of the emblems in remembrance instead of leaving it to us to perform the duty on our own? Of all our, or at our leisure, could it be that his wisdom In his wisdom, he knew that we would ever be busy with our jobs, with our families, and with the worldly activities that surrounded us on every side. And excuse my eyesight's not like it used to be. And left to our own, we would find the time to assemble ourselves together in remembrance. And how often do we allow our outside influences to affect and crowd out our work in the vineyard? I'm afraid much too often. So knowing what is in the heart of man and our weaknesses, Christ mercifully made the act of remembering compulsory. We would like to think back for a moment when this ritual we call the memorial service was instituted. In so doing, our thoughts automatically go to the upper room where Christ joined his 12 apostles to eat his last meal with them before his death. And as he sat down to eat, and I'm sure we all visualize this in our minds, he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I don't think we can ever emphasize this moment. Christ knew it was his last night on earth at that time, and that this was his farewell meeting with these men he loved so dearly. They had been his constant companions and fellow laborers for 3 years. And this was perhaps the greatest evening of his life. But although this was a joyous occasion, there was a shadow of darkness too, for there was a traitor in the midst of this closely knit group. And after hearing Christ's startling announcement, each one of the apostles asked, Lord, is it I? We recall Christ identifies his betrayer, but not by name. Rather, he said, he it is to whom I have, that I give a sop or a morsel when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. We are also told Jesus said unto Judas,
that thou doest do quickly.
He then, having received the salt, went out immediately out, and it was night. In reading from John 13, verse 31, we find, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Thus, the shadow that had hung over this occasion was removed upon Judas' departure. After Judas went out, Christ then commenced the memorial service. Returning to Christ's opening word to his disciples, the margin renders his words, I have heartily desired to eat this Passover with you. And then he adds three important words, before I suffer. We can't be sure just how long Christ knew of the suffering, of his suffering. The shame and the physical and mental pain that he was to endure, for it was not revealed. But we can be sure he was fully aware of what lay ahead. He often spoke of it as his hour. And although we are well aware it was far more than an hour, in fact, just from the time he was arrested until he uttered the words from the cross, it is finished. It was some 15 hours or so. And so, although we can't say with certainty when this knowledge was revealed to Christ, we can safely conclude he had known for years what his Father required of him. In his private conversations with his apostles, he often told them of his approaching suffering and death. And there is no way we can become remotely close to sharing the feelings Christ felt, knowing what faced him. But even on a smaller scale, just think how we feel when we know there is some unpleasant ordeal in our future that we know we must face. Or perhaps the future events are such that we do not feel we will have the strength or the courage to undergo it. Then try and compare our small tribulation with the weight and the responsibility that Christ had on him. But even with this knowledge and the mental anguish, he said, he still was able to continue with his ministry work. And we mentioned the fact that Christ often referred to his hour, and we would like to consider a few examples along this line. The first account that comes to mind was when Jesus was present at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, and he said to his mother, Mary, mine hour is not yet come. And so here, when he performed his first miracle of turning water into wine, Christ acknowledged a great crisis that was to occur in his life. And this, of course, was very early in his ministry. Then looking into John 7, verse 1, we find these words. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. The account continues to say Christ's followers encouraged him to accompany them to the Feast of Tabernacles at Judea. and to do the works he had done elsewhere, and he rejected their invitation, though telling them that the Jews hated him because he testified that their works were evil. He then tells his disciples to go ahead without him, and he adds, I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full, not yet full come, or fully arrived at, as the diglot renders the phrase. But later he secretly went to Judea alone, and during the midst of the week, midst of the feast, we find Jesus teaching in the temple. And Luke records, he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. In John 7, verse 30, we read, these sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Continuing into the 8th chapter of John, we find Jesus still teaching in the temple, proclaiming he was sent of God. However, the people and the rulers would not accept him nor his words, and they desired to take him prisoner and to slay him. But in the 20th verse, we find these words, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And although these were two different events, we note the identical words were used in each account. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. After hearing Christ condemn their evil deeds, and after hearing him proclaim he was the Son of God, both the rulers and the people wanted to put him to death. And although he was to die, this was not the appointed time. And thus he was in his Father's care and protection. And what a great blessing it is to be under God's care and protection. And as we, brothers and sisters, think about that, how much care and protection do we have? Does not the angel of the Lord encompass around about those that fear him? We have a related thought in John chapter 11. We are told in the account that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. We also find a supper had been prepared in Jesus' honor. This account is after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and he and his sisters Mary and Martha were both present. It's further revealed Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And Judas Iscariot was quite upset by the action, and he wanted to know why the ointment was not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. We come then to the point we are establishing, namely that Jesus replied, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. Here then we have a further record that Christ was well aware of his impending death and that it was on his mind. One commentator has rendered the verse, she has done what quite right not to sell the ointment. She has kept it for today, making today, as it were, my burial day, by performing the prophetic act of anointing and embalming my body. One thing is for certain, that Christ was well aware that his death was nigh at hand. Christ was well aware that his death was nigh at hand. And we read several verses that said Christ's hour had not yet come. The logical question, of course, is when did it arrive? And we find part of the answer in Christ's own words, recorded in John 12, verse 23 through 28. And we should mention first, however, there were certain Gentiles that had come to Jerusalem to worship at the feast of the Passover, and Andrew and Philip then came and told Jesus about the Gentiles, and he answered them with these words, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Christ acknowledged in these verses his hour had come that he might be glorified. And after a pause, he adds that his soul was troubled. In the familiar 69th Psalm that Brother James read a few verses of is a psalm of David concerning his affliction. But the words have even more and greater of an application to Christ as they depict his innermost feelings. They reflect the degree that his soul was troubled. And we would like to read some selected verses from this fitting psalm. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying, my throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would cut me off, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brother, and an alien unto my mother's children. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, answer me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of deep waters. Let not the water flood overwhelm me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Answer me, O God, for thy loving kindness is good. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, turn thou unto me, and hide not thy face from thy servant. For I am in distress. Answer me speedily, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. We, of course, associate these words with Christ's greatest trial in Gethsemane. This, we could say then, was his hour. It was here he underwent his greatest inner struggle. It was here where his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But not only was it his hour, it was also his victory. For he was to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Yes, he completely overcame the will of the flesh. And returning to Christ's words in John chapter 12, he acknowledged, "For this cause came I unto this hour." And he was fully aware his Father required the voluntary giving of his life. And it was through his total obedience up to this point that he had glorified his Father. And so he turns his thoughts to his Father and says, "Glorify thy name." And God heard his Son's prayer and responded, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So we have the thought, if Christ was able to glorify his Father in his sufferings, just think of how much greater the glory will be in the age to come. If we may return for a moment to the familiar account in the Garden of Gethsemane, we remember how Christ led his disciples there, and after he had prayed to his Father the third time, he returned and found them asleep. But rather than being upset, he said to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." It was on this same occasion Christ had said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." He wanted and needed the companionship and support of his disciples to help him through this darkest hour, but his strength and help was not to come from man, not even from his closest companions. There are a few more verses we might read to enlarge upon Christ's hour. For example, we find these words in John 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Here we have the thought, the time was fast approaching when, as the verse said, he should depart out of this world, out of the world into his Father. Then turning over to John chapter 17 and verse 1, we find this prayer of Christ. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." He continues with this prayer in verses 4 and 5. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Yes, Christ had truly glorified God on the earth. and through his perfect obedience. And now he was about to receive glory by being exalted to his Father's right hand. But there was still one more item before his work was completed, namely the act of laying down his own life. In this connection, we find these words in Romans 5, verse 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we might read this 7th verse again from the Digla, which says, now scarcely on behalf of a just person will anyone die, though possible on behalf of them someone might even venture to die. And we also see in these verses the love of God towards us, because we being yet sinners, Christ died on our behalf. And this brings us back to the thought that Christ did die, but it was at God's appointed time and not man's. Similarly, we read in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, in honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We also recall the words of Christ recorded in John 10 and verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. These commandments I received of my Father. And so Christ was successful in the last requirements of his Father. For it is recorded he was obedient in all things, even the death on the cross. And we also recall the last words of Christ before his death, where he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. How appropriate it is when we realize how Christ had spent so much of his life in prayer to choose to utter his final words to his Father. Now his work for the present time had ended. The Apostle Paul sums up the next events in a few words found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, and that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We also recall Christ's words, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And Peter was to later write, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And after Christ's apostle witnessed his ascension to heaven, we are told they returned unto Jerusalem. And in Acts 1 and verse 14, we find these words. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. As we come together this morning to remember the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, May it be with the same unity as those faithful ones that met in the upper room almost 2,000 years ago, namely with one accord in prayer and supplication. And may we strive to fulfill the words of the Apostle Paul. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. And with these thoughts in mind, we prepare now to partake of the emblems. We have therefore before us the bread which represents his body prepared, and the wine which speaks to us of Christ's shed blood, shed for the remission of sins. And as we do each first day of the week, we read from the account that was left on record by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, or better rendered, covenant, in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink in this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so, with these thoughts, we will turn and ask the Lord's blessing upon the loaf through Brother Robbie Bennett.
Almighty and merciful Father in heaven, hallowed be your great and holy name. Father, we are thankful to thee for this time to separate ourselves from the things of the world, to now prepare ourselves and our minds for partaking of these emblems. And as we now consider the bread which is before us as a representation of thy Son's broken body, help us to reflect upon how we too can emulate thy Son by offering up ourselves as living sacrifices unto thee. Father, just as you showed your care unto thy people Israel in the wilderness by providing them the manna from heaven, so too, Father, we see your care to all mankind by offering up thy Son, thine only Son, as the bread of life. May we, Father, feed upon his words. May they bring life unto all those who properly digest them and apply them, and bringing glory unto thee as your Son brought glory by all the things which he spake and all the things which he did. Help us, Father, that we too may put away the desires of our flesh. Help us to reflect thy Son in all the things which we do and say before thee. Father, we pray for your Son's return to be soon upon this earth, that we would once again be able to see him with our eyes. May we participate with him in that glorious age to live and reign with him in thy kingdom as it what is established in Israel and thy throne in Jerusalem. These things we offer to thee, give you thanks and praise through our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ.
The servers, please come forward. We'll also ask the Lord to bless him under cup for Brother Cameron Hawkins.
Our great Lord and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet with our brothers and sisters in such peace and safety, for the words received this morning, for the emblems before us now. We are so blessed to be called your sons and your daughters, and by partaking of this cup, may we be reminded of the great price that was paid that we might be able to take on these wondrous titles. As we see your people Israel being prepared by suffering for the return of your Son, we know that he too was an offering that was prepared through suffering, and that even though he was without sin, personal sin, He was made perfect through his sufferings. And may we be reminded that we too need the same kind of purging and cleansing. And if we be called upon to suffer for your name's sake, may we do so with gladness. And as we partake of these emblems each week, may we be strengthened to do so even better as time goes on, knowing that we are showing his death till he comes. And we pray for your help to be strong in the faith till the very end. As we partake of this cup, we look forward to that time when he will drink it new with us in our very midst. And we pray it might be your will that he might cleanse us, forgive us for our many sins and shortcomings, that we may be part of that wondrous multitude. If it be your will that all these things be consumed even this very day, in his name we come to you and ask your blessing on this cup through our Lord and our life, Jesus Christ.
It's recorded that after supper they sang a hymn and went out. We'll follow the example by the singing of hymn 115, after which we'll ask Brother Aaron Schofield to dismiss us with prayer and offer for the noon meal. The days are quickly flying and Christ will come again with all his saints attending, triumphant in his train. Hymn 115.